Welcome to In the Know, presented by The Glass Doctor. We fix your pains. I'm News Director Dan Spaulding, and this week we're looking toward the upcoming Fat and Skinny Tire Fest, entering its 20th year. We've got two of the three co-directors, Mike Cusick, Greg Denopoulos, the third, Nick Houck, also a key player, not here. It's a three-headed monster running this event, which has really, really grown. Correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And quite honestly, I would say besides the co-directors, I mean, there's 17 or 18 on the planning committee that have been meeting since October just to get everything organized. And it's a lot with 20 plus events over 3 days.
And obviously, the entire theme is that it's an all-encompassing bike event. That's expansive, isn't it?
It is, because part of what KCV talks about, and it's even in our logo, is we want to appeal to people that will commute, cruise, or compete. So it's really trying to invite any way you ride a bike in any type. We try to have an event for all those different riders. So we have the races, we have a bike to work event that starts on Friday morning at 7 a.m., and then we have a lot of, probably five different options for people to just get on their bike, ride the greenways, ride in a tour, and just different events that makes it easy for anybody to get on their bike during the weekend.
How big has it evolved into, and what's the closest similar festival in Indiana? Is there any?
I'm not sure if there's, I mean, there are other races, similar caliber of what we have in Indianapolis and Chicago and everything, but to encompass mountain biking, to encompass tours, to encompass BMX racing and stunt shows and casual rides and things like that. There may be others that, but we're not aware of, at least in the Midwest.
And Friday night has really changed things up maybe 2 years ago, I believe, but it's really evolved. Tell us about that entire experience.
So we have been working with the Chamber and Main Street Warsaw and also Go Rogue Warsaw to try to bring more people into Friday night. And so there's two pieces to that. The Main Street Warsaw changed first Friday to third Friday. And so that's bringing in more of that crowd who they promote to and that the regular crowd for that. But we also have changed some of the events that we do that night. We have the Zimmer Biomet Twilight Criterium, which is an exciting race around three of the blocks in downtown Warsaw. So when we bring that all together, it really creates just an exciting atmosphere for all the spectators, plus the racers love it too.
And that tradition is here to stay, do you think?
We hope so. We used to do, if you remember before COVID, we used to do a time trial. And so that would take people out to Zimmer Biomet and Boggs, and they'd turn around. And that's basically one racer against the clock, whereas Criterium Racing is exciting. You know, we try to tell people that maybe aren't aware of bike racing, it's NASCAR on bicycles. And so when you've got Third Friday and all the festivities going on, the BMX stunt show, the live music, all that stuff, right down in the center of downtown, but then you have this awesome race going on into the evening and we've got lights and everything so we can race till about 10:30. It's pretty exciting.
And a year ago, as you recall, they established the DORA district that allows people to take alcoholic beverages outside of restaurants. And, you know, everyone was all hyped up about it. Is this going to be a bad idea? The first year was smooth as ice. And you guys feel good about it? It's a nice compliment and nice.
Yeah, it is, because I think somebody can go in, get something to eat, get something to drink, and come outside to watch the races. And, you know, Lord willing, the weather is great, like it was last year. And we saw downtown was packed. So,
and you know, I'm curious, you mentioned COVID. You guys bounced back quickly after that, didn't you?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, I think it was the core events. You know, we didn't actually have the Twilight Criterium downtown. We did not come back with that just because it was so many moving parts and so much to manage. And we really needed to build that partnership with downtown. But we did come back and had a great year. Wasn't record-setting numbers, but it wasn't far off either. I think the 2 years off was enough, And a lot of that wasn't our decision. There were so many other factors of when you could actually get permits and start racing again, allowed us to, you know, we were ready. And so we jumped right in, and yeah, people were excited to come back and have the festival. Hence the reason why, like, this is the 20th year, even though the first year was 2004. We had to take 2 years off. So
understandable.
Yep.
One of the biggest changes, I think, involves road racing. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So working with our regional racing group, their name is Inky and USA Cycling, the national championship is actually a week after, for road racing, is a week after the Fat and Skinny. And they asked if our road racing event on Saturday could be the state championship for road racing for Indiana. So that's actually created a lot of excitement with the racers, and we're seeing record registrations for not just that event, but the 3 days of road racing the entire weekend.
Where does road racing happen, and how big of a bump are you getting out of this?
So we've got certainly the Twilight Criterium downtown on Friday night. Then the road race is out at, they start, finish line is at Claypool Elementary School. And there's like a just under 9 mile circuit out in the county that they'll do, depending on their category, they'll do multiple laps of that circuit. And then Sunday is the Village Criterium. So, but the bump that we've seen this year, we're at just under 300 pre-registered, whereas last year, this time last year, we were just over 100.
And these kind of bikers are notoriously late in registering, so how big could that be?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would love to see 600, and we could possibly get that.
Wow.
So
we're probably getting near our cap at that point.
Yep.
Though. Really?
Just for how many people we can
out. Yeah, so yep. Certain, like, depending on the race and everything, we have to cap some of the fields. So there'll be a cap of either 50 to 75 in a field, just because of the size of our courses, that to keep everything safe on that course, you have to set a number, a cap on each race.
I'm sorry to say this, I've never seen the road race down activities down in Claypool. If somebody wants to check it out, where's the best place to be?
I would park at Claypool Elementary School. That's where the start-finish line is, and you can head there. Or if you go down, County Farm Road will actually be closed, so you can't get down County Farm Road. But Hoppus, there's a hill. We call it Hoppus Hill, and there's a spot there that is notorious for, there's a switchback there and a hill, and oftentimes that's where riders will attack the field. So if somebody wants to, you know, take a breakaway, they're going to try to charge up Hoppus Hill and get away from the field.
What's the best times to be in Claypool for that on Saturday, I guess?
We're going to start at 10 a.m., but we have three waves. So there's technically three categories on the course at once, starting at 10 o'clock. And thank you to our local police officers. They help kind of guide the field. So they'll be at the front and making sure the road is clear. Because not all the roads are closed. But when that comes through, we have corner workers that will clear the field, but or clear the road. So we have three races at 10, then we have three races at noon, and then two races at 2. And the one at 2 o'clock is your top categories.
With the state competition 1 week away, that takes up the competition, the level of competition a little more?
Yeah, I mean, you know, interestingly, how they handle that is you have to be an Indiana resident to qualify for the state championship. But what will happen is you'll have racers from other states that are here because they're vying for the prize money for their team. Uh-huh. And so, you know, you could potentially have Indiana residents that they finished 10th, but technically as an Indiana resident, they were second or third, right? So it's, we'll let USA Cycling handle all of that stuff and the placings and the medals and everything, but it does ramp up the level of competition. And we've seen that. It's actually on our registration page, we have a heat map and it shows where people have registered from. It is bright red all over the Midwest and extends all the way out to Nevada, California, Colorado, Arizona. We've got people from all over the country coming this year.
Wow. 20 years, pretty monumental. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah, I mean, 2004 was when we kicked off, and KCV, which was Kosciuszko County Velo, that's the local advocacy group, officially started in 2003. And it was in that year when the Village was really getting going. Trail House had just opened up down there. Dane and Brent had asked if there was some kind of event that we could put on. And we had already been dreaming up, hey, let's do multiple things, because the mountain bike trails were already there. We were already hosting the Indiana State Series mountain bike race, and had this dream of adding a few more events and activities. And so, kudos. There's so many people to thank, but certainly the Gast family, Robbie, Rob and Nancy, Jim Lancaster, certainly Alan Aldifer. That was kind of our original core, myself, that really kind of Jeff Knopfsinger. There was a group of us, bicyclists that dreamt this thing up and had a lot of encouragement and support from a bunch of people. And, you know, that first year was four or five events and 30 volunteers. And it has 20 plus events and 340 volunteers. So it's grown quite a bit.
And it's grown so much that you were telling me you can't really expand anymore until new opportunities arise.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you were to look at the schedule from Friday evening all the way until Sunday evening when we're packing things up, there's something going on at all times throughout the day.
And part of the reason we do that is we also want to focus that everyone has a great experience. So we do constantly get ideas on, well, why don't we add this and why don't we do this? But if we add more things, that takes away from our volunteers, it takes away from our ability to focus on it and make sure people have a great experience in whatever they're doing.
Speaking of volunteers, I understand you already have 300 that have been trained.
Yeah, we actually just had our volunteer meeting this week, and we're at the 300 mark, but we've still got about 10% of the spots to fill. That's typical. We're getting closer, but there are roles and things that we still need people to do, and we can train people on site. You don't have to be a bike fan. You don't have to know a bunch to be able to do some of the things that we need help with.
Yeah, a lot of it can be standing on a corner and just helping make sure people aren't walking into the flow of cyclists coming through, or
yep.
It might be helping to set up barricades or break them down.
Yep.
So, yeah, again, really most of these roles don't need any biking experience. We just need someone who wants to help out with the weekend.
And how is the KCV organization? Has it grown over years?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We've got a board of 11, 10 or 11. I can't think off the top of my head right now. All of us. Last week we were hosting almost 300 third graders with Tracy's Trailer, which is our mobile bicycle education initiative that we do. We had volunteers. We're an all volunteer led group. All of us, I mean, we're doing this just as a passion. Most of us have day jobs. And so, we're just having fun with this, but trying to really grow awareness for bicycling. I mean, I was telling the volunteers at the meeting this week that when we first started with KCV and the festival, we didn't have a single foot of greenway in the community. And so we believe we've played a big part in trying to increase the awareness and understanding of the benefits of bicycling. And so that's really what we're trying to do.
And that's something more I want to talk about before the end of the show. But I'm curious, I believe bicycling is becoming more popular. What is the state of bicycling these days? It's on an upswing.
Well, and I think I would even say, like, what you're seeing an increase with e-bikes. I mean, the average mm-hmm. person now, if you hop on an e-bike, and this is something that, like, if you do your research, a group like League of American Bicyclists, which is really who pushes bicycling in the country, they've done so many studies that the average person's trip is 4 to 5 miles and sometimes less. So if more than half of our trips can easily be pedaled with an e-bike, and you can put a rack on your bike, and we've seen that even down in the Village, how many people come into the Village in Winona Lake using the greenway, and they're there to shop, they're there to eat, they're there just to hang out. And bikes will be parked outside of restaurants and shops and places.
I think certainly saw during COVID, people wanting to get outside more, we saw a huge increase of the use of the greenways.
Mm-hmm.
But then you saw bicycling being a large part of that. And then I think to your point, the e-bikes are becoming much more popular because it makes getting someplace much more accessible.
Yep.
And so I and then on top of that, people are trying to be healthier. And it's an easy way to get out and be healthy and do things with your family. So I agree completely that you definitely see an upswing.
Do you have an idea how fast e-bikes are trending?
Well, I can't put a number on it. It's actually probably 5 or 6 years ago, it took off in Europe and other countries. It was a little bit slower in the U.S., but now we're starting to see quite a bit more adoption in the U.S. I can also tell you Trailhouse Village Bicycles, they have put a lot more focus. I think they're actually selling more e-bikes than standard bikes at this point. They still offer everything, but they've very much focused on that market because that's what the people are asking for.
You're listening to In the Know, presented by The Glass Doctor. We fix your pains. This week we are discussing kind of a future look at the upcoming Fat and Skinny Tire Fest. Mike Cusick, tell us about the sponsors and how big of a role that is.
Yeah, we wouldn't be able to do this event with our sponsors, and we're blessed to have over 40 this year. And their sponsorship allows us to do what we need to do with the festival. Big thanks to our title sponsor, K21 Health Foundation. They've been involved for over 15 years. And can't go through all the sponsors, but additional thanks to both Zimmer Biomet as well as the Kosciuszko County Convention, Recreation, and Visitors Commission, the KCCRVC. Both are huge sponsors of the event and help make sure it happens.
Where would we be in this community if we didn't have K21 Health Foundation?
Right.
It is such an impact, and it's provided a steady path for you guys.
It's helped us a lot. I think the main piece there is their goals overall are very much aligned with our goals.
Perfect.
Because their mission is making the county healthier, and our mission is to utilize bicycles to make our community healthy. So there's a lot of synergy between the two of us.
Have you seen an increase in sponsorship?
We did. Yeah, this year. And every year we tend to see a little bump up. We want to make sure, though, that we're staying within our means. And we don't want to overdo it because, you know, we want to make sure the sponsors get the recognition they deserve for helping out for the weekend.
Okay. Looking toward the future, plans for a county park, a bike park, continue to evolve. Tell us what's going on with that.
Right. We purchased the land next to the Winona Lake Trails, I think about 4 years ago, and we've been fundraising in our phase one to cover the acquisition of that land as well as our design and planning. We've made great strides on both. We're just about to pay off the land itself, and we're just about to complete the design and planning phase with a vendor that we've been using. But the most exciting news is that we've been working with Grace College, who applied for the Eli Lilly Endowment Initiative. It's called the CCC. It's the College Community Collaboration. So they were able to get a grant from Eli Lilly for the Catalyst Corridor, which is going all the way from Grace College into the city of Warsaw for development. We've got a portion of that, and it's approximately $1 million. And so we're still working with Grace College on the process of accessing those funds while we are working with the design of the park and what our construction phases are going to be. So it's very exciting news, and we think it's going to cover well over half of the construction of the bike park. But right now we're working on what are our next fundraising goals, because with that grant and some additional fundraising, we believe we're going to be able to fund the entire park.
And so that puts you on a good glide path, you could say, toward really realizing this park. How soon might you begin construction?
You're going to see a lot of activity this summer, I believe. Moving dirt in, we have to raise the elevation of some parts to get some of the downhill features that we want. And we're, again, a lot of planning for the different sections of the bike park. We should be identifying the vendors that are going to help us build it. And it's really going to depend on a little bit of that initial site preparation. It's probably going to be most of this year. And then going into next year, we hope to get these vendors in actually creating the features of the bike park.
So just to clarify, this is a type of park that's open to the public year-round, summertime mostly. But also, it'll add to what you guys do for Fat and Skinny Tire Fest.
Yeah, I mean, our hope is that we can certainly add some different events to it. Something like the asphalt pump track. That is certainly something, you know, there are times of the year where we have to close the trails because they're too muddy, but having an asphalt pump track allows people to use that, you know, year round. And that also opens the door for additional events.
How soon might the park be ready?
We're both hesitating on that, right? A lot of it's going to depend on fundraising, but we do hope, even with the grant money that we will be receiving, that we can at least get a few of the sections done ahead of time. Yeah. So optimistically, very optimistically, maybe 2 years for those first sections. But if we get the fundraising completed also in the next couple of years, I'm hoping the park is complete within 3 to 4. But again, you're going to have sections that are going to be accessible sooner than all of it. And we'll be just continuously building it over the next few years.
If you could both take a moment and think about, in terms of spectators, from a spectator perspective, what two events should they be checking out a week from now?
Well, certainly Friday evening, join the community mass ride that leaves at 6:30 from Trail House and ride to downtown. But then I would say any of the road racing or mountain bike racing, whether it's in the village or here downtown or down at the Winona Lake Trails.
Mike, do you have a favorite?
They're all favorites. Come on, Dan. No, but I think Sunday, the Criterium around the island in Winona Lake, everything is centered in Winona Lake. That's where everyone is. Because it's a Criterium doing loops, that's where all the action is. That's one of the fan favorites.
Plus the kids race and the Ortho Cup. Yeah.
And what's the website to learn more?
KCVcycling.org is KCV's website, but fatandskinnytirefest.com will give you the full schedule and registration.
We appreciate your time. You've been listening to In the Know, presented by The Glass Doctor. We fix your pains. If you have questions, comments, or story ideas, email me at news@newsnowwarsaw.com. I'm Dan Spaulding. Have a good weekend, everybody.